Jamie, I got bad news for you. With this system, you are not going to be able to sleep during church today. No. Hey, I have a couple housekeeping things. Number one, there's going to be no women's Bible study Wednesday. So, that's one. Number two, Journey to Bethlehem is still going on. It is today from 4 to 7. You know, I'm not an actor, so thank goodness nobody asked me to be an angel, because that wasn't going to fly. But here's what I'll tell you. I was just doing different odd jobs for Kelly as we were trying to get ready yesterday, and it was, I don't know, 20 till 4-ish. And I thought, you know, it'd probably be a good idea. We're here representing Christ. It'd probably be a good idea if we got together and prayed. So I was going to find Kelly and say, hey, let's gather everybody and pray. And as I was walking back to the barn, I saw the mass in the barn. They were already doing that. So that was really cool to see. I was able to just walk up on that and hear that. And really cool. And so I was the guy that was out at the end of the drive just greeting people as they came off the bus and driving back and forth and hauling some people. And it was so neat to see kids when they got off the bus that didn't really know what to expect. Then when they were getting back on the bus, and they were full of God's excitement. And it was just cool to see. Unfortunately, it started raining, and that didn't dampen the message. It didn't dampen. All it did was dampen the four angels and the two or three guys standing outside. But it was a really cool experience. If you have free time this afternoon, this evening, I would highly recommend it. Kelly puts a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that. That's kind of her mission that she really believes in. And the community has come together to make that just such a wonderful event. And really, really a neat time. That's two. Number three. December 24th, we will not have Sunday school that Sunday morning, correct? We're starting church at 10. It's going to be a service a little bit different than what we're accustomed to, but hang with me, hang with us, and we will get that done. Because it is Christmas Eve, we feel it's pretty necessary to do something out of the ordinary to represent our God. And there was one more, but it escapes me. I don't write anything down. I should. I don't know. We're going to go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and I am in awe of everything that you do for us and everything that you take care of us and take care for us, even when we don't know you're in the mix and already leading that path for us, Lord. We just ask you to be with everybody in the church and in the congregation that has needs, and Lord, we know a lot of those, and some of them we don't know, but we know that you know, and that's all we need to know. Lord, we just lift everybody up that is going through something, and we just ask you to shut me down this morning and bring out the message you want us to hear today, and give the congregation ears to hear what you want them to hear. Lord, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all the glory. In your name we pray. Amen. So, you know, it was me preaching because Julie texted me Friday, and I was really struggling with what this message, what God wanted me to give today. And so I didn't want to go into the full Christmas story because that's coming. But we're in that season of Christmas that we need to be in a Christmas mindset all year long. So the title is pretty simple, The True Meaning of Christmas. We're going to use the passage today, Matthew 2, 1 through 12. And did you know the true meaning of Christmas is not giving or getting gifts? Did you know that? As kids, man, that's what we look forward to. And as young parents, and even now as my kids are older, and I sit back and I just watch them, their joy they have in giving gifts now. And that's pretty cool. But that's not the real meaning of Christmas. Let's dig in here. Matthew 2, 1 through 12, the Magi visit the Messiah. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi, which were traditionally also called wise men, from the east, came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born, the King of Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel." Then Herod called the Magi and secretly found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find them, report to me so that I too may go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went on ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So there's some things in here I want to kind of look at. Some things that are hard for us to imagine. Now, these wise men, these dudes were studying. All they do is study, right? Study. Thankfully, I got the name wise man, and I didn't have to study. But these guys actually studied. They studied the stars. They studied the laws. They studied everything. So they knew the star they were looking for. Okay? When I look up in the sky, hello, there it is. When I look up in the sky, I see stars, but I don't see, like some people see the Big Dipper, the Little Dipper. Man, I just see a bunch of stars, right? I can look and try, and I'm not going to find them. So these guys looked at this one star and said, "Man, that is the star that the Savior, the Messiah, is being born." These guys are smart. Okay, they're smart. But then, this is driving me nuts. "We saw his star and have come to worship him." Why is that? All right. But King Herod was disturbed. Okay? Why? Because they were saying the king, the Messiah, was coming because of the star. He was the king. He did not want to be replaced. So, there are three attitudes that we should have towards Christmas, towards the meaning of Christmas. Number one, Not three attitudes we should have. There are three attitudes towards the meaning of Christmas. Number one, some of them are hostile, and that is Herod. He starts disturbed in verse 3. He's greatly agitated. He's alarmed. Why? Because his reign is about to be over, he thinks. Okay? Then he moves from disturbed to deceitful in verses 7 and 8. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so I may go worship him." Herod at that point went from being worried to taking matters into his own hands. And he was going to take care of this child. He didn't want to go worship. He wanted to make sure that there was no other king. And then in verse 16, Herod becomes destructive. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and his vicinity who were 2 years and under, in accordance with the time he had learned from the Magi. So here's a guy that wasn't a wise man, but he was a king, and he took this information that the wise men gave him, and he discerned, and he made a plot. Okay, he made a plot. So he went from being disturbed learning of the birth to deceitful and trying to trick the Magi into leading him to the Savior. And then he became destructive. And he took matters into his own hands. And here's what I'm going to tell you. When you tell people that worshiping Jesus is the true meaning of Christmas, some people will be disturbed. Some people will be disturbed. They're most likely, the people most likely to be disturbed are those who believe that A, Christmas is about giving gifts, or giving and going to parties, or singing Christmas songs. Those are all good, but not the true meaning. Verse 2, let's look at that real quick. "Where is the one who has been born King of Jews? We saw his star when it rose, and they have come to worship him." Verse 2 doesn't say that they saw his star and they came to give him gifts or to get gifts from him. It says they came to worship. The second attitude people have towards Christmas, finding out that the true meaning of Christmas is worshiping him, is indifference. And you know, you're going to say, "What do you mean indifference?" Well, here's what I mean. We're not disturbed by the true meaning. We're not deceitful about hiding the true meaning. Or we're not destructive about the true meaning. But we dismiss it. There are people in your life that you're going to say, "Hey, the true meaning of Christmas is worshiping Jesus." And they're not mad about that. They don't have an opinion on it. So they just totally ignore it. You know what? Here's the bad thing. Unfortunately, a lot of those people are Christians. A lot of those people are Christians. We know all about the birth, but we're not excited about the meaning of the birth. We're more excited about the acts we get to do every year than we are about the meaning of the birth and worshiping Jesus. Guys, do you understand that Christmas, yes, it's about the birth, but the real thing about that is Jesus is now one of us. He wants a relationship with you. There's no reason we shouldn't worship with him. You know, he was sitting at the right hand of God, and God sent him to earth in the form of a child. didn't have to be that way. God could have just destroyed the earth. But he didn't. He sent his son. So if we're indifferent about that, boy, we need to do some soul searching. Because I'm going to read you here's the people that were indifferent, verses 4 through 6. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Man, why weren't those people excited? They had the sign from the prophet. Then the Magi showed up and said, hey, it's happening. These people should have been out of their minds excited. We should be out of our minds excited. But we don't. A lot of times we go through the motions. And we get super excited about Christmas Day. Or Christmas season. When the real thing we should be excited about is Jesus came. And he knew the end result, that he was going to die on the cross. And he wanted a relationship with each and every one of us. Why are people indifferent? Why do people become indifferent to that? I have one word for it. Worldliness. We get so caught up in what is going on in the world and so caught up in all the commercialization of Christmas and all the other stuff that we forget that our main meaning of Christmas is to worship Him. Then there's a third type of person, and it's a person that, or the third attitude towards the true meaning, and it's people who are excited. It's the wise men. The wise men. It's verse 2 again. But there's also some other verses in here. But when they saw the star, I read something this week and it said, when they saw the star, they ran to find him. Guys, do we get that excited about anything in our life? I've said it before, I'm not a runner, right? Not a runner. I don't run to the supper table. I walk fast. Okay? But these guys, man, they dropped what they were doing and they took off with their camels and whatever, and they headed to find out what it was all about. They were excited. And when they got to Herod, they were still excited. And when they got to all the people that were indifferent, they were the wise men were still excited. And when they got to the Savior, when they saw the baby with Mary, his mother, you know, and it's weird that there's no mention of Joseph in any of this, but I read something else this week, and I don't want to go on a different tangent, because that's where I thought I was going with the whole message this week, was Joseph being a supporter, a support giver. But there's no real mention of Joseph, but we know he was there. But these wise men, they were there to glorify that baby. Yeah, they gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but the gifts were secondary. They were there to see it. They were there to see him. They followed that star. And the other thing that's odd to me is, and again, I'm not into astronomy, or I don't even know if that's what's called, astrology, whatever it is, but a star, and we've only heard this a couple times, but something following or leading people, right? This star led the wise men to the baby. We had another time when Moses was leading the Israelites, we had something that led him there too, right? Guys, it only happens. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. It's not a, yeah, because the wise men are so great. No, you know, here in my vision of the wise men, they're smart book guys, but man, they couldn't get anywhere, right? They would just wander around. The book didn't tell them where to go. Just said there was a star. They're smart enough to recognize the star. And then the star led them to the Messiah. Here's the other thing the wise men are smart enough to know. And I know that the wise men were guys of Christian faith, because after they saw the baby, they had a dream. And I don't like having those dreams sometimes, because God makes it pretty clear to me when he gives me a dream. Doofus. Told you to do this and you didn't. But he gave them a dream and said, do not return to the Herod. Go another route home. Yeah, I don't know where home was for the wise men, but you know, the shortest distance between point A and point B is probably the road you traveled there to get there, right? Well, they knew then if they went back the same way, they were going to get Herod, and they had been informed that Herod was not going to worship the Lord. Okay? These guys are integral parts of the whole story, and they're pretty cool. But I've also, in studies, and I don't know where that was found, these guys traveled 1,000 miles, approximately, to see the baby. Okay? Now again, they didn't have air travel. They didn't have cars. Okay? And in one of my readings, it said they ran to see the Messiah. But they left what they were doing and they skedaddled and went, right? So, and that's where we get the 2 year that Herod figured out, okay, it's about a 2 year window, right? That's where I'm going to take care of all the boys, okay? But these wise men, they just went 1,000 miles to see a baby. And we do that today. You know, I have a nephew that's going to, Lindsay's pregnant, and then I have a nephew that's, his wife is going to have a baby about 3 weeks later, and I thought, you know, his mom and dad will move heaven and earth to get there to see that baby. That's only like 400 miles. But it's an easy plane ride. These guys did not have that. And they, by them doing this, it claims that we're never far enough away that the Word of God can't reach us. I don't care where you're at. And we're never far enough away that we should not worship God. He's done a ton for us, some that we won't even know. He's done a ton for us right now, today. We have a lot of situations in the church. Prayers have been answered. Prayers we didn't think were being answered, but they're being answered. You know, Jackson Bo are on recovery. Jackson found out he doesn't have to have surgery. Everything came back clear. Good news there. Skyler had his surgery this week, and he's bored out of his mind already. This is good practice for him and Lindsay, because when that baby comes, So Lindsay is learning patience. And Skylar's learning how to sit still, and it's driving him nuts. We have another situation. Jenny got answered a prayer this week. Stan is going to come home tomorrow and be under hospice care. So just keep bathing that in prayer, because God's at work. Jenny knows it. Her and I talked this morning. She knows it, and she knows. She claims God sent an angel this week that kind of took matters into their own hands and cut through all the red tape and is getting Stan home. So continue to pray for that situation. We don't know what that end's going to look like. We don't know what that does look like, but we know that God's in charge. And Jen knows it as well, and Tim. But just continue, because that's the way we worship God. You know, we not only worship through song up here every Sunday. If you're lucky enough to drive around in your car, you can worship all week like I do, and people pull up and say, "What an idiot." You know, I've had to take a break from K-Love or the other radio station I listen to because I've got the Hallmark channel on my car. Just something about it. I listen to Christmas music. I'm a little weird. Lacey Chabert is my favorite person. She's the voice of Hallmark Radio, and she's one of the actors in all the Hallmark movies. I think I've seen them all twice. But we should worship 24/7. We should worship 24/7 because our God is doing great things. And don't confuse the Christmas season with being busy in worship. You know, it's great to have parties and it's great to get together with family, but make sure that worship is the center of it. And as we get closer and closer, we'll hear more and more about, you know, everything that's going on in the world. And man, be thankful and worship Him for all that junk too. He's allowing all of it. There's a reason. But my challenge to you is to get back to the real reason for Christmas. And that's to worship the Messiah. Worship the baby that was born and what He's done. And praise Him for the fact that He wants to have a relationship with you. You know, the second coming's coming. We don't know when. When it does come, it's going to be a party like no other Christmas. It's going to be pretty cool. But until we get there, we need to make sure we're in an attitude of worship every day of our life. Let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for sending Your Son and sending that baby Jesus so that we can learn how to worship and we can learn how to celebrate that day, not only on that day but all the days of the year, Lord. And Lord, we thank You that You knew He was going to endure pain and You sacrificed Him for each and every one of us sitting here in the chair today that we may have eternal life with You. Lord, we love You, we pray.